Blog Talk Radio.
Happy New Year and happy last day of Kwanzaa. And our seventh principle for Kwanzaa today is Imani. Imani. Imani means faith. Faith. Simply put, just having faith, believing that a better world can be created for the communities now than in the future. This is going to be a great year in 2021. I'm looking forward to having a great time with you. I'm looking forward to learning from you, having more fun with you here online, and maybe actually face-to-face. This could be the year. Happy Kwanzaa, Happy New Year, and we'll see you soon.
My name is Michael Del Bianco.
And greetings. To everyone.
Welcome to this segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. And we thank you for tuning in. Of course, the brother said to 2021, and of course we know it's 2022 now. But at any rate, thank you all again for tuning in. And again, Aborigani, and the response, of course, is Imani. Well, family, we are going to continue some of the dialogue that we had last night. And, of course, we were examining the work of Kaumba, but also we brought in Imani, and we wanted to look closer at what those principles not only represent to us based on, you know, how it was given by Dr. Malana Karenga, but also what it means to you personally and collectively. And perhaps even more important, what does it mean in the context of us using these principles for liberation and justice? So that's what we're going to continue to talk about tonight. Again, we don't want to just look at Kwanzaa as 7 days or look at the principles as just being something that we focus on for 7 days. It behooves us now to incorporate it into our lives to a greater extent, and particularly as it pertains to obtaining real justice, real liberation for our people. So tonight, family, we are going to talk a little more about that, and we welcome your input. This is January 1st, as they call it, 2022, the first day of a so-called new year. And I'd like to really know, what does that mean to you? What should that mean for us? And with that said, we're going to ask some questions tonight. And some of those questions are going to be, should we have our own spiritual and religious institutions? Ooh. See, tonight's conversation is going to be really interesting because we're going to kind of get into a few what I call taboos, meaning there's some conversations for some reason that people tend to want to avoid, such as, is the present day religious institutions hindering us, meaning keeping us from obtaining the justice and the freedom that we talk about? And are they also being used to help to keep us enslaved? Yep, we want to ask that question tonight. Hope y'all got some answers. Okay, the other question that we're going to ask along with those is, what is the difference between organized religion or institutionalized religion and spirituality? Is there a difference? So what is that difference? And more importantly, again, how is that used for or against us? Another question that we're going to look at tonight closer is, and I kind of mentioned this earlier, what should some of our goals and objectives be as a people for 2022? Do we have any? Again, we can't just have these conversations about what the problem is and what we need to do and all that. I mean, you know, come on. What are we talking about actually doing? What are some of the goals and objectives that we need to try to achieve, if possible, through the year. By the end of 2022, do we collectively have some goals and objectives? Well, that's one of the things that we're going to be talking about here at New Day as we proceed into this 2022 year, meaning coming up with collectively some ideas, some possibilities as to what we can look at by the end of the year in terms of accomplishing some things. Wow. Now, you would think that that would be a conversation that you would hear on a more regular basis, but unfortunately it isn't. And so we find that it's absolutely necessary to begin to make sure that we venture down that road now. So, again, we're going to start for the New Day family coming up with some suggestions as to what do we want to accomplish. Those of you who are part of the New Day family, you know, there's some very simplistic kinds of things that we can do collectively. And, of course, you need to examine what you want to accomplish for your personal being. And so these are some of the things that we're going to look at closer. So, again, we're going to open up the mic and hear from you because it is important that we exchange and interact these views, these concepts, these ideas, and ideals, and with that come up with some plans of action. Because again, if folks think they're going to continue to hear me and hear a New Day, and all we do is have conversations and bring you information, which we will continue to do, well, I can tell you now, it's going to also be about gauging some action. And we really need to push that a little more, obviously. Because, unfortunately, we are not advancing to the degree that we really should be. So, with that said, let's see. There's another question that we're going to be asking you for tonight to get some responses on and about. And it is, what do you feel are some of the root problems and causes of violence in our Black communities nationwide? You know, there's a lot of conversation. Philadelphia just put out 60, I think it was initially 13 million, now it's 68 million to deal with the issue of violence, anti-violence. And it is so amazing to me to see this once again and to see how people are buying into believing this stuff the way it's being presented. But that's what's going to happen when you have folk that have no real objectives. That's what we're going to find ourselves, you know, being involved in, meaning you're going to hear the same things over and over and over and over if, in fact, you do not hear some actual goals and objectives. And by the way, here's the key thing, with a timetable or at least a projected timetable. Now, that's what's going to help to really give some clear indication about who is who and what is what now in this day and age. So, again, that's kind of the conversation that we want to talk about tonight, family. Again, question. I'll give these questions again, and I hope you can press one so that we can start hearing from you what you think some of the answers are, or if not answers, at least possibilities. No one has all the answers. No one has all of the solutions, but we do have some possibilities. We do have some pieces to the puzzle, and I dare say I feel very confident that some of you surely have the Kaumba that we need and other things and Imani that we need to produce the kind of changes and to sustain those changes, okay? So I'm going to repeat the questions again, and please press 1 if you have a comment about some of the questions that I am raising for tonight. Again, it is Imani. It is about faith. And in that vein, we are asking questions such as, is religious institutions of today helping or hurting the obtainment of real Black justice and liberation? Also, we're going to ask, are religious ideologies and doctrines helping to keep us enslaved? Now, so again, if you have a comment or a thought or a response to these questions, you can press one now, and we would love to hear what you can share with us. Some of the other questions that we're raising tonight is, should we have our own spiritual, religious, and or religious institutions? Now, these questions might sound like they're pretty simplistic, but in reality, they're pretty deep, and here's why. Most folk go to, you know, that do participate in some kind of religious institution, institutionalized kind of practice or interaction. But again, you have to ask, so who put that in place? Whose concepts were institutionalized and that most are embracing? Where did they come from? Aha. See, again, these are some taboo questions that oftentimes many don't want to engage in. And looking at my board, I'm not seeing anyone that wants to engage in that conversation right now. I indicated you can press one, and so far no one has, which is okay. But I'm just saying, these seem to be questions that people want to avoid. And yet we talk about wanting to be free, but yet we don't want to examine some of the things that just might possibly be keeping us from doing that in some other realms of reality. Okay, so again, one of the other questions that we're going to look at and examine is, what should some of our goals and objectives be as a people for this so-called year of 2022? And let's see, the other question that we wanted to raise is, what is the root problems, or what are some of the root problems or causes of violence in Black communities nationwide? Again, if you have a response to any of those questions, a suggested, a thought, a plan of action proposal, then I would like for you to press one now. And we would love again to hear from you, okay? All right, moving right along. Oh, my goodness, this is real interesting. No one seems to have any response or comment. I find it really interesting, but it is what it is. Okay, so moving right along. I'm going to ask a couple of questions, and let's see if we can get some response to that. Is anyone that's tuning in familiar with something called the Temple of the Black Messiah? How about the Shrine of the Black Madonna? How about the Osaroset Society? And lastly, let's see, there's one more I wanted to mention. It'll come to me in a few moments, but just go with those three for now. So, again, I'll mention the three again, and let's see if anyone is familiar with either one of those. Again, Temple of the Black Messiah, the Shrine of the Black Madonna, the Osaroset Society. Now, the reason why I'm raising those three or mentioning those three institutions is because, going back to one of the questions, which is, should we have our own spiritual or religious institutions? Well, those three were, in fact, created, developed by black men in particular. The Osaroset Society, the Temple of the Black Messiah, and the Shrine of the Black Thumb. So, if I ask this question today, who are the spiritual leaders, or who are the people in the spiritual or religious arena that represent our best interests as a people? And, well, once again, that's going to get some very interesting answers, or shall we say a lack thereof, because, again, we can't really say that we have spiritual religious institutions that are ours, meaning that we actually started. Now, of course, here in Philadelphia, many are familiar with the great AME Church, Mother Bethel, which, of course, was started by Richard Allen. And again, for the purpose, as some other churches were, because black folks weren't really allowed to worship or to congregate with white folks. And so they started their own churches. But once again, the question has to be the fundamental doctrine or the fundamental ideas, concepts, practices, rituals, etc., came from what structure? From who? So these are critical questions that really have to be examined closer because, hey, if we're really serious about focusing on our freedom, then obviously these are some of the questions that we have to begin to look at a little closer if some dare to do so. If, in fact, there is going to be freedom and liberation, certainly there has to be an examination of some of the things that we know that were utilized against us. And so certainly no one, you know, could deny that, you know, some of these religious institutions, and note, I'm not saying that to believe in something, to believe in a creator, to believe in a higher power, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the institutionalization of things that are put into not only that realm, but then it's also developed into what you have to do or should do in order for you to obtain the benefits from those ideologies or ideas or whatever. And again, we have to ask ourselves, where did that come from? Now, I know many might say that, you know, the foundation of Christianity or the foundation of Judaism or Hebrewism or whatever, you know, came from black folks. So, you know, of course, from a historical perspective, with the teachings or the information that Dr. Bean has given us and Dr. Clark has given us and others, certainly one would agree that that is relatively true. However, as you all know, there are versions of these things. There's different branches of these things. And so the question has to be, for our people, which part of these things are we embracing as a people? And I dare say, I think y'all know the answer, but I'm going to wait and hope somebody else kind of jumps in. So again, if you have a thought, a comment, or something else to share, again, we hope that you will press 1 now and join in this conversation, right? Wow, no one has any thoughts about it. That's like really interesting, but I'm not going to press it. I'm going to let that marinate in the brain and in the and in the spirit, as they say, because, you know, again, for the year 2022, we're going to begin to really start examining, you know, certain other concepts, or if not other concepts, certainly thoughts that are not being brought into the forefront to the degree that it should. Someone mentioned the other day about our people being sheeple. And so we kind of see the examples of that. And so what we want to begin to do now is to unravel some of that to a greater extent and literally help to bring about clarity and also to bring about truth. How about that? So let me see. Oh, I think the other evening we kind of played something from the great Ashaka Musa, Barashango. And so I'm going to, since no one has anything that they want to share with us tonight, I'm just going to go to one of his lectures and maybe share that with you. Let's see. Okay, Ishaka Musa Barisango. Oops, hold on 1 minute. Let me just tune it out for a moment. And there's a couple others that I want you all to become familiar with as well, and I'm going to bring that into fruition a little later on. I was hoping we could have some dialogue first, but it seemed like folks don't have much to say, and so we're just going to go ahead and expedite this. Okay.
Was called Christ, 17th verse. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. And the 21st verse. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. And we'll come back and do our traditional African Senate exegesis on that text in a minute, our Black nationalist commentary on that text. Let's go now to the book of Amos, the 9th chapter and the 7th verse, with a companion scripture. The 9th chapter and the 7th verse. And it says, are ye not as the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, saith the Lord? Have not I brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt, and the Philistines from captor, and the Syrians from curse? All right, those are the two texts we're going to investigate tonight as we deal with our subject, the Cushite African ancestry of Jesus the Christ. Now, let me work with that title a moment before I get back into the text. The word Christ comes from the ancient Indian word Krishna, which means the black one. That's what it means. Choir. Joy Rogers brought that to our attention. I believe it's Sex and Race, Volume 1, page 268 or page 265. He said, well, why India? Because, and we will study that in a minute, the large majority of the population in India for thousands of years were black people before white people invaded India. And we'll deal with that and how that came to be. And one of the titles they had for one of their manifestations of the Creator, of God. And let me make something clear here with you. African people, wherever we were in the world, whether we were in India, Persia, wherever we were, Arabia, wherever we were, did not worship many gods. What did I say? Did not worship many gods. We worship the one divine creative force in the universe for whom we had such reverence and respect. We did not even build a temple for. We did not even give a name because you couldn't name it. We just said the one. The one. Everything else was a manifestation of various aspects of the multiple powers of the one. So when you hear of the god Osiris, as the Greeks calling, which is Osan, he was not a god. It was a force of nature which manifested the power of God in that realm, which was the Nile River. That was the power of God being shown in the Nile River. And the sweet and divine, most venerated throughout all the ages, the original black Madonna, whom the Greeks call Isis or Set, her proper name, represented the vegetation of the soil in the Nile Valley. And that was God's power feeding the nation. So that's what God and goddesses were. And let me spell with a capital G. Smell with small G. And in the scripture, it says in...
Okay. Now, again, that was Dr. Ishaka Musa Barisango. For those of you who are not familiar with him, there are several lectures that you can find on YouTube. And, of course, there are several folks that, you know, that have catalogs of DVDs that you can also purchase some of the ones that aren't necessarily on YouTube. And we'll be giving you a couple of people that we work with that, you know, are documenting or have documented hundreds of lectures of our people. And so we will be presenting you with information in this coming 2022. Because we will be a distributor of both books and DVDs and CDs. So we'll be talking more about that. But getting back to the point of faith, again, today's Imani. In examining what do we believe, in examining why do we believe what we believe, in examining do we believe things that were told to us by other people who do not have our best interests in mind or at heart or whatever. So these are some of the things that we now must begin to ask ourselves. Are our people embracing doctrines and belief systems and so forth that are really designed to, if not keep us enslaved, to certainly keep us from advancing in a manner that we would be able to do so. So, again, we just listened to Ishaka Musa Barashango, and there are others. So I'm going to go back to one of my initial questions, and it is, are folks familiar with the Temple of the Black Messiah? Because that is the temple that Ishaka Musa, Dr. Ishaka Musa Barashango, started. He started the first one here in Philadelphia, and then he had another one in the Baltimore, D.C. area. Of course, he is an ancestor now, and of course, the institutions are no longer in place. But they were very, very vital years ago. As you heard him mention, the idea of Black nationalism, and of course, a few years back, it was also something called Black liberation theology. And of course, he was one of the few who advocated, taught, and really, really brought a lot of information in that frame of thought. The other, of course, was Reverend Wright. He too was known for Black liberation theology until, you know, he kind of switched up. But anyway, that was Ishaka Musa Barashango, and was the founder of the Temple of the Black Messiah. He's the author of several books. And again, if you Google him, you will certainly find a lot of information that he provides. The other question or institution that I was raising to everyone is the Asaro Set Society, which has been in existence probably now for about 50 years, but again, have their own spiritual basis and have had it for roughly 50 straight years. And they have groups or chapters, if I may, in Philadelphia, New York, Atlanta, and other cities. So the question that we're raising tonight, or some of the questions, is should we have our own spiritual and religious institutions as an organized body? And the other questions were, what is the difference between organized institutionalized religion and spirituality? And of course, one of the other questions is, hold on, let me pull this back up again. Is religious institutions helping or hurting the attainment of real Black justice and liberation? So now, again, other than Mr. Farrakhan, who's asking these questions? And if you can't answer that pretty readily, then you have to ask yourself, why not? Why are some of these questions so much of a taboo or something that people don't want to talk about? Okay, I'm going to go back to Dr. Ishaka Musa Barashango just for a few moments, and then hopefully some of you are ready to come in and, you know, have this conversation. This is an examination of our own selves. Are we embracing concepts, ideas, et cetera, of someone else? And if so, why in the 21st century? And if so, what are we going to do about it? Let's go to a little more with Aishak and Musa Barashango. And then hopefully some of you are ready to join the conversation.
In John, what is that, 10:34? Lord, I said ye are gods. Now, was that saying that we are God? No. Ye are gods, which means ye are lords, forces on the earth. You talking to people, gathered around him. I said ye are gods. You read it in John 10:34. I said ye are gods. It's also in the book of Psalms. But that's not to say we walk around with God. No, you get slapped down. No, it doesn't mean that. It means that we are an extension of the force of the one divine power in the universe, and we have to be a manifestation of that. As George G.M. James said, the object of all learning and our educational system, which is the most complex the world has ever known. You didn't go for 4 years and get your degree. You had to go for 47 years to get your degree. And you didn't get one degree, you had to go until you got the 360. And then, if you wanted to be the big dude that did the teaching, you had to have 360.4. Now, we know the circumference of the earth is 360 degrees. When you get 0.4, you can go on beyond the planet Earth. You're in the stratosphere. That's how heavy the chemicals were in their knowledge. And understand, and the object of all of that, Dr. James tells us, was to become godlike. To become one with the one.
Amen.
To walk in harmony with and know the one as Enoch did in days of old. Walk and talk with God. And when you get that heavy, you can't stay here no more. You just will walk right on out. You have to go. And the earth couldn't contain him anymore. He had to die. But the object of it all was to get that oneness with the creative force so you could think at, how could we do all those wondrous things that the world cannot duplicate today? The ancient pyramids cannot be duplicated. For all the technology in the world, it cannot. They have tried. Believe me, it cannot be duplicated today. How is it we were able to create something that nobody can duplicate today? Why? We were in the mind of God, and the mind of God was in us. Therefore, we had to perform as gods on the earth, as gods and goddesses on the earth. For we were an extension of the one and walked in harmony with that power. It is only since we have been cut off by the accuser of the brethren. As the scripture says, the devil is an accuser of the brethren. The devil will come in and turn one against the other and keep them fighting with one another and build up tribalism. That's where, if you want to know what a devil is, there's a person that does things like that, or people who do things like that. Uh-oh, I better stop now. Y'all don't get mad with me.
All right. Well, again, family, some of these conversations are almost hands off. You people don't want to have them, but it's time that we do. I say that we are approaching the Ma'atik Epoch, a time for truth, justice, reciprocity, balance, order, those types of things. And so with that said, we pursue those types of things. We talk about the seven principles of Kwanzaa, but we're also now talking about the seven principles of Ma'at and bringing them together, connecting them so that we can really now strive in an even more advanced way for real justice and liberation. So again, I invite you all to join this conversation if you think you can or should. And the conversation is, again, talking about faith. How are we going to use our faith for liberation and justice? Is it just to go to church or go to the temple, hear a good sermon, hear a good lecture? Or are we really now prepared to apply these things in a way of tactical usage for real freedom? And if not, if that's not an objective, what does that say? So, again, I ask if anyone has a question or comment or a thought along these ways of conversation that we've brought forward so far, please press 1 now. Excuse me. And I would love to hear what some of your responses are. And while we're waiting for that, Baba Aishak and Musa Barashango mentioned George G.M. James. George G.M. James. Are folks familiar with George G.M. James? Well, that is going to be one of our study group book. We now are bringing forward our book club, by the way, family. And so that is one of the books in our listing, and it's called Stolen Legacy. So again, we want to make sure that we provide as much information to our people about whatever it is that we're doing, saying, and so forth. And as Dr. Aisha Musa mentioned, that, of course, the foundation of what many call today Christianity or other so-called religions, and again, we want to begin to bring kind of information as to what the difference is between religion and spirituality, and what's the difference between religion and institutionalized religion. Those are two different things. And so it's in our best interest to know, you know, what these things are so that we can move forward and, again, strive and sustain freedom. Okay, seems like folks still have nothing else to share in this conversation. So what we'll do then is go back to Aisha Musa Barashenko and hear more from him.
The word devil is used in our Bible comes from the Greek word diabolos. And that's a person who keeps that stirred up. Diabolical stuff. Horrible stuff. Now you look in history and see who has been the most diabolical. Now I'm through with that. Let me get on back. Well, y'all get mad with me. And I want you to get upset with me. I want you to love, 'cause I'm here talking in love today. I love you.
Okay, let's take a pause here. This...
Okay. So let's take a pause here, because I do see someone that has something they want to share with us. So we're going to go to caller at 9462. 9462, your mic is open. Welcome to the segment of New Day and Haborigani.
Jema, Santi, Haborigani, Imani.
Imani, yes, ma'am. How's my sister today?
Your sister mama is holding on real tight by a fingernail, but she holding strong.
Oh, no, that's right.
This is Elder Mama Condi, sweetie.
Yes, I know.
Not have my presence in this subject. And I've been sitting here, you know, my phone acts a damn fool. So I've been sitting here trying to get it to push one. And
okay.
I got some success. So that's a good thing.
Yes, ma'am.
I need you to be patient with me because, as you know, for the last 6-7 years or so, actually longer, I've been finding out I'm blind. I am learning the challenge of sharing information from my study and my research and my experience without the benefit of notes. It's a major challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm doing it. So I'm gonna beg for your patience with me because of that. As you may remember, like Dr. Ben, Dr. Clark, Ivan Van Sertima, Renoko Rashidi, and other elder scholars, I have / had a library of over 6,000 books.
And
there's not one you've named so far that I did and do not have in my collection.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because a lot of people ask me, well, why do you keep them? You blind now. You know, you don't need these books. But there are such things as scanners, you know, people who read to other people.
Yes.
And so I'm not getting rid of my books. And why not have a legacy to pass down?
That's right.
It's not like we can readily find a lot of the books that those of us who are more elder than me have saved and collected for the benefit of our people. I'd like to go in several directions. Since there's nobody else calling in, let me see if I can piss a few people off with me. That'd be fun. one, I am a neologian, a linguist. I like words. I like languages.
Mm-hmm.
I like making up words. I like redefining words. I enjoy that activity. It's a beautiful activity. And so one of the words we used to work on is belief. B-E-L-I-B-L-I. And I always found that an interesting word. People would ask me, well, Mama Cundy, what do you believe in? I said, I don't believe in nothing. I don't believe in anything. Well, why not? You know, you got all these religions. And I said, well, sweetie, religion is a word that when you look in an old English dictionary, not the modern ones, you got to go back. Look in an old English dictionary. Belief means to bind back. Who are the people on this planet that need to be bound back? It ain't me. Why would I believe or in be a part of belief? So I don't do that. And I get irritated with people who have accepted beliefs and faith as the system has defined them and took away our knowledge and replaced it with belief.
Mm-hmm.
We used to know.
Mm-hmm.
Here I was running around a young person, and I love that you were playing Dr. Ishaku Musa Barashango. He was like a baba to me. Me and his daughter, Sister Daima, were very close when she was alive. She's the one that helped me drive when the Philadelphia police attacked me and my children. She helped me drive to Ohio, and they loaded up the truck and they moved to Ohio. So, I mean, I'm showing my age, and that's good. I like my age. It's something that you have to look at, and look at it not so much from a physical, but from a metaphysical eye, which your first eye, with where that was one of our words for spirit or spirituality. My name is Kandi, Kandi. It means spirit within. So it lets, that's why I love naming ceremonies, because it tells us what our ancestors and the Most High have to say about who we are, why we're here, and what we're supposed to be doing. But see, what needs to be done, like, as you know, I've delivered hundreds of babies, and I haven't even had as much as a breach. But that is not to my credit. That is to the credit of the ancestors. Because when we do things and are obedient to the Most High, there's nothing we can't do. And without any complication. You don't deliver hundreds of babies and not have a complication unless you are using Kepra or spirituality. You know, one of the first things I do with young sisters who come to me to deliver their babies is, one, on a health level, I make them write me a 30-day journal. If it goes in their mouth, I need to know. I don't care if it's a Tic Tac, because we want this baby to come through without any complications. You got to go down to the river every 5 days and do your prayers and collect those prayers in a jar and then drink those prayers. Living our spirituality. That's what saves us. That's what saves us. Spirit showed me I deliver babies even though I'm blind. That blew me away when I learned I still have that skill. But it's because I depend on spirit. I don't depend on Condi. I don't depend on what she sees, what she hears, what she thinks, what she believes, what she knows. I depend on spirit.
Wow.
And I teach sisters the things they need to know, which is how to go inside themselves, how to go back, how to force their memories. What were they doing when they were in Amenta, choosing a body, choosing the parents they were going to come through? What were they doing? What was that trip like? What was the time in the womb? Why don't we count that anymore? We used to. We have amnesia.
So with that said, Mama Condi,
yes, ma'am.
With that said, so why do you think, why do you think that this is not being either discussed, taught, or what have you, for the most part, particularly in Black communities today, and needless to say, within church or temple or whatever environments? Why do you feel or think that this is not being done?
For several reasons. One, what I do, when I ask the ancestors whether or not I should deal with a sister, well, first, even before that, I don't deliver babies for anybody other than Black females. That's it. My gifts. What is it called? Casting pearls before swine? I don't give my gifts to other people. I give them to Black males and Black females. That's it.
Okay.
The next reason is the example that I gave, which is delivering babies, because there's a lot more, but here where I am in Ohio, quote, midwifery is illegal, unquote. I mean, this is how much they're trying to make sure that they maintain control on minds and bodies.
I need to clarify my question. So the question is not just so much as
I was getting to
the
it.
Midwifery.
I was getting to it, but I'll let you just go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, because I want to really get to some answers, and what I mean by that is, why are we not being taught in our communities the more natural states of being, be it birth, be it health, be it our spirituality development, whatever? Why is it not being in our communities?
Vampires. embracing spiritual vampires. One, which is fear. We are afraid to step up, many of us. Two, you can go to jail for taking control over your own life. This is how much this system is trying to defeat us. Those of us who are brave enough, those of us who are courageous, we do this kind of work. We make the promises to the Most High that this is the kind of thing we would do in spite of the face of the kind of wickedness and evil and imperialism and oppression and white supremacy that we face. So get out there on a platform, and churches are not going to support this, and neither are other institutions in their system, because they can't make money. I don't make money delivering babies. I'm a hustler. You don't make money doing the true Kepra work. I've never made money. That's why you don't hear nothing about it, because it's not a part of the capitalist system. You know, we're doing things from a very African-centered view.
Okay.
Very African-centered. This is
so
what
let
we
me
are
ask another question.
What we should be doing. Yes, ma'am.
Let me ask another question. And again, family, please feel free to press one if you'd like to join into this conversation, share your views. You're certainly welcome to do so. So Mama Connie just addressed and gave, I think, some very, you know, straightforward answers, which is what, you know, we're really trying to help folk to at least examine what some of the actual causes and effects are of the things that we've been talking about, you know, for centuries, really, but I'll say for decades, in terms of the plights and other things that we're in. So now, the next question the next part of this is, why in our communities, and I'm going to be very specific right now, within our communities, we have people who talk black. And what I mean by talk black, talk about liberation, justice, talk about, you know the issues that are affecting us or whatever. But for the most part, do not either help to develop or bring forward programming or support or whatever when it comes to authentic, more authentic information, programming, and so forth. And I'm saying in our communities, and I'm saying those who talk a lot of blacks, those who walk around and talk about Kwanzaa, those who talk, you know, run around and talk about, black power or whatever. Why do we not see the manifestations of them, their groups, they're the individuals, literally, actually, either presenting, the fundamentals of what Mama Kandi has just mentioned and what we've been talking about throughout this dialogue tonight in terms of our spirituality, our concepts of God, etc. Where's it at? And again, family, I'm opening this up to you all, because if you have that in your community, please let us know so that we can pass that information on. Okay, let's go back to Mama Connie.
Yes, sweetie.
So, again, Mama Connie, why you think in our community, why you think in our communities, and again, I'm not talking about the masses per se. I'm not talking about the ones that haven't read Dr. Ben or Dr. Clark or Dr. Francis Quest Welsing, or I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the ones that have read or heard or had some teachings. Where's the why aren't these programs in our communities now? Or
because
the support?
They're busy
go
running
ahead,
their mouths and talking instead of doing the work. You got to do the work. That's why. Do you?
How do you really think I could have delivered hundreds of babies running my mouth?
No way.
Really?
No way.
Is that hard work? So, you know, do the work.
That's
why
right.
Why are we here? What are we supposed to be doing? Do that. Be obedient. You know, my last name is Bey, B-E-Y, Moorish name, and it means pretty much that I need to be obedient to the Most High,
mm-hmm.
to my ancestors, to my guardian divine being. And that's what I do. That's what's more important to me than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
The Most High is pleased with me. I'm good. I don't care what nobody else think of me. That heifer
that's
crazy.
Right.
Yep. That's a big man. And I keep right on going about my business. I could care less.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
that's the bottom line of it all. I've been doing
all right.
this since I was early 20s, delivering babies. I'll be 70 in March.
All right.
In March.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's the point of a prayer if you're not going to use it as a weapon in,
mm.
In this war we in? What
mm.
is the point of it?
Mm.
I don't get
wow.
it.
Yep.
I don't get it. And
wow.
that's for everything that we do. You know me. I'm a founder of 5 independent African-centered schools in 2 states plus Jamaica. And one of the ones was with Mama Nalo there, Baba Tanu, in Philly. We didn't get paid. You can't be African-centered and capitalist at the same time. This is science. Opposing forces cannot occupy the same space at the same time. You're either a servant of the people or you're a danger to your people. And that's what we have to decide. We're mentally ill. We suffer from amalgamation, assimilation, aculturalization, inferiorization, dichotomization, reification, despiritualization, genocide, menticide, and the like. You can't do those things and be what we need to be at the same time. And a lot of us are scared. We embrace all kinds of spiritual vampires.
Mm.
You know, selfishness, jealousy, possessiveness, envy, greed, guilt, anger, fear, and the like. And we do it as a matter of course. We live in a system that says that behavior is acceptable. How insane is that?
So with that
said,
then obviously one of the missions or goals or objectives for us needs to be focusing also on ridding ourselves or at least lessening some of these maladies, some of these dysfunctions. And then we have to get into the how. How do we do that? So, again, family, for future dialogue, this is what we're going
to
be talking about. This is what we're going
to
be talking about.
We come back
to the
spiritual because that's the only way to free yourself. Mm-hmm.
But also we're going to talk about what are some of the practices or proposed suggestions, et cetera. So these are going to be some of the critical conversations and dialogues that we're going to be talking about in the very near future. And by the way, I did remember the fourth institution that I wanted to share with everyone. I mentioned, Mama Connie, that there were 4 institutions that were founded by 4 black men in recent time that did focus on religion / spirituality and did it from a frame of reference that was more not only applicable but even more palatable for us.
And that, of course, being, again, the Temple of the Black Messiah. Of course, we mentioned Ashakamusabara Shango, but also the Shrine of the Black Madonna.
Black Madonna.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then also, of course, the Sarset. Right? These are both, mm-hmm. all three of these are institutions of spirituality or religion, whichever, but again, coming from a frame of reference that was more conducive to us, be it Christianity, be it Kemetic, you know, what have you. Now, of course, there's an Islamic one, of course, with Minister Farrakhan, the Nation, and then there's several others. But again, they didn't found the actual, they found the institution part. But the one that I didn't mention and I was thinking of, do you remember the Imani Temple? Speaking
yes.
of this being the day of Imani?
Yes.
So, family, again, we're sharing information with you because the Imani Temple was, in fact, the first temple or, shall we say, extension, for lack of a better word, of Catholicism, where you had a black man who literally changed the whole order or the whole service of the Catholic order that he came out of, and it started here in Philadelphia, actually, and then he moved to Washington, D.C. And it was interesting because he brought the djembe drum into the church, into the mass, et cetera, et cetera. Here's my point. Again, how are we utilizing Kuji Changalia and Kuumba and these other principles? How are we defining ourselves? How are we literally being creative and so forth and so on? And so, again, now with this being Imani, we're saying whose idea of spirituality or religion have we embraced? And if so, why? And, you know, to what extent is that helping to free us? For real. So again, these are some of the critical questions that we're asking tonight. And again, we invite any of you to join in this conversation. This is really funny, Mama Condi, that there seems to be a reluctancy. And normally, and I have a bunch of folks in queue, but it seems to be a reluctancy to jump into this conversation. I wonder
because
if it's kind of
when
self-revealing.
We talk about spirituality, people think you're crazy. That's been like that
and
for me since I was a child.
But I think the other thing, too, is self-examination kind of,
oh, yeah,
when,
that's
you know,
scary.
This is a Michael Jackson moment, the man in the mirror.
Yeah.
Man
when
in the mirror.
when you have to literally answer some of these questions for yourself.
Change.
Right. When you have to answer some of these questions for yourself. And then be
right.
true to thyself. Ooh, that could be a little upsetting, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's scary.
Wow.
I guess I'm fortunate because I started young as a child, you know, and being into that Kephra realm, you know, and children tend to be fearless. I don't know. If at this age, if I learned what I did when I was young and I learned it now, if I wouldn't be too ruined, you know, too set in my ways as an older to make those kinds of necessary changes. But when you're a child, you know, the limit is not the sky. The limit is beyond the sky. When you're a child. So I met a lot of scholars and elders and spiritual people when I was a teenager and younger than that. That's why I say a prayer is a weapon, and we should be using it as a weapon. Here I am, 11 years old. I do a prayer that asks, who am I? You know? And what else is there out there other than just the church? Because, you know, I came up in Church of the Advocate. And I wanted to know what more was there. I used to challenge Daddy Washington all the time because I wanted to know what was African. Was Christianity something that was African? And so I decided to do a prayer and ask some spirit, some physical being who could hear my prayer, somebody, you know, how does this really work? What do we do as a black people? I asked that question as a child. 6 years later, El Haji Vicente shows up, and he approaches me. We were at the Black Museum at 7th and Dolphin, and he was speaking and performing. And when he got done, sitting way in the back by myself, and everybody else was sitting up front, and they all converged on him, and I didn't move. I'm sitting there taking notes, trying to catch up with what I might have missed. And he comes to the back, and the people are following him. He said, no come. His English was horrible when he first got here. He came back, and he stops in front of me, and he says, "You make a prayer?" I had no clue what he was talking about. He said, "You make a prayer?" I said, I thought he was asking me, do I pray, right? And I said, yeah, but I guess he was reading my face. And he said, no, you make a prayer. So then it hit me. Maybe he's talking about a specific prayer, and that did it. I knew exactly what he was talking about during the prayer that I asked, who am I? He said, you cante. Cante in Guinea, Gambia, Mali, Sierra Leone, Senegal. You cante. And I pursued that at that age, what that means, you know, who are the cantes? They are the griots, the jollies, the marabous. What a legacy. No wonder
right.
It is spiritual. No wonder. I get it. But we got, as you said, we got to be fearless. That's the only way to get back. That's the only way.
And so with that said, again, one of the things that we will be doing for 2022 is bringing more cultural awareness, for lack of a better word, to help our New Day family be more familiar with some of the terminology that you heard. Now, you just heard Mama Connie use griot and jale and other things. We want our people, because we can't really just assume that folks know, because we know that they know these things. And so we want to be more responsible and just help to make sure that people can no longer say, well, I don't know, I didn't, you know. No. You're not going to be able to use that one on us family. Not that you are, but I'm just saying. We're going to make sure that we do due diligence, as it's called, in providing information. And so, again,
ask me the question, because I'm just sharing my life, you know what I mean? But ask me the question.
Okay.
So for example, what is a jolly?
We're not going to do that tonight. We're not going to do that tonight.
Oh, okay.
I want to focus primarily tonight on the key questions, and I'm hoping that some other folks, you know, want to chime in. Doesn't seem like they want to yet, but that's okay. Questions, and you can respond to this one if you like, Mama Kandi, but I'm saying also to those that are listening, are you familiar with the Nicene Conference? And the reason why I'm, we want to help our people to examine some of these things that many are embracing. And so if, in fact, you are accepting or believing or embracing certain ideas and concepts, do you know where they came from? And so the question again is, are you familiar with the Nicene Conference?
And again, even if you're not one that embraces that particular ideology of Christianity, it still is in our best interest to know about it, because so many of our people are. Okay, mm-hmm. And so
yeah, I don't embrace it, but I know as a matter of scholarship and research,
sure,
what that
sure.
is. And anybody
exactly.
taking the time to listen to Ray Hagins and some of these other brothers that preceded him, you know about the Nicene Council. I came up in Church of the Advocate. We used to recite the Nicene Creed every
right.
Sunday.
Right.
You know, but I, for me, an example of some of the spiritual systems that I embrace is Ifa, Voodoo, Khan, Kemet, Lukumi, Bea, Makumba, I Santeria. I embrace African spiritual systems.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do. I'm an African transcending cosmogonist. Yeah.
All right.
I embrace African spiritual traditions, and I haven't gone near Christianity since I was 11 years old.
All right. So, again, family, we'd like to hear your views, your thoughts. You know, again, we talk about many things on this program, and tonight being the day of Imani, this is an excellent time to talk about faith and those things that are connected to faith. So, again, we invite you to join in the conversation. And if so, you need to just press 1, and we'll be more than happy to bring you in. Okay. Wow. For those who are not familiar with the great A.J. Williams, J.A. Williams, again, we are going to begin to give you information and also make books available to you so that those who are just learning certain things will, you know, have more clarity and a better understanding about those things. There's another
James
person.
James Cone.
I was just going to say. James Cone. Exactly.
A good place to start.
Exactly.
And there are white people who were fearless and told the truth as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like Sir James George Frazier.
Yes.
He wrote Antiquities Unveiled, and he talks
yep.
about what black people were doing in the beginning and where
yep.
white people stole it from.
And that reminds me, and that's what I was really thinking of, J.A. Rogers.
Study your enemy because you learn a lot from them. You learn what they stole from you.
Yes, and that's what I was actually thinking about J.A. Rogers also.
Yeah, yeah. He was bad.
Okay. Oh yeah.
I have almost.
But yeah. But going back to Dr. James Cone, for those of you, and you know, he recently made transition. He made a transition in 2018, I think it was. But yes,
mm-hmm.
when you talk about African, and again, he was a scholar par excellence. But anyway. Oh, we have somebody
mm-hmm.
else who wants to join
mm-hmm.
the conversation. Finally,
yes,
all right.
Yes, I'll be quiet.
Well, let's go to caller. You are at 9498. Your mic is open, and welcome to the conversation. Again, we're talking about Imani and those things that are relevant to Imani, such as faith and religion and spirituality and so forth. So 9498, your mic is open.
Oh, boy. Hello, Sister Filet.
Hey, greetings.
Can you hear me?
Brother Ray Ray, how you been?
Oh, man. Things is rough, but had a little... Hello, family.
Bless you, sweetie. How you doing?
No.
Talk
things
to us.
Things rough over here. Wife's mother-in-law, my mother-in-law passed away, so.
That was
a hard pill. Everything's going nuts over here. Not nuts, but, you know, just hard to swallow.
Mm-hmm.
Swallow. Yeah.
Sure.
So faith is something that got to be in there. And, this 19 ain't no joke. You better not be going to the hospital. Because they're going to throw the 19 on you.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to try to give you the iron lung, and then that's it. But, you know, she was almost 27 years ago. So, but they did it, and you got no rights when you're going in these institutions. You know, and once we started standing up and talking to Dr. Lewis about stuff, you know, they...
Yeah.
Caught him in all these lies, and they basically let her go. Yeah, they basically let her go. And, you know, don't go in there with her. Don't go, family, do not go in there with any little thing. They're going to throw the 19 on you. Throw you. They're going to push you out the hospital, push you out of their room, quarantine you. Then they're going to call for the iron lung. They're going to give you the remdesivir. And then they're going to hit you with the morphine. And that's it. So it's been crazy. And then, you know, Faith is, well, my wife go to church, so she you know, she always dealing with that faith. I'm like, these people is crazy. And then I was marching. Once they get you in them institutions and you don't know nothing, it's just unbelievable on probably how they've been treating her. Black folks with medical jargon and just telling you any goddamn thing. And did I end? Begged and don't go. But, you know, black folks still believe in going to hospitals. But they want to make that money, so it's kind of rough around here. It's just hard to swallow that. And then been in that department in the project. 65 years, something like that. Then what they're doing in public housing, Marcy, probably all the houses, they turn the heat up so high. And then they cut it, then they make it unbearable. You got people with their air conditionings on now because the heat is so high. And then next thing you know, they cut the heat off. It's gone. We're trying to get all that stuff out of there, but everybody's kind of devastating. Just keep fucking with us, fucking with me too, you know. And then, you know, he was taking all the vitamins. We was cleaning out the closet. She had the vitamin D, she had the zinc, she had it. But I think with the radiation and the chemo that they had gave her when she was 85, that kind of ripped her apart. I don't think they should have gave it to her, but, you know. So the more I keep thinking, you know, on... Listen to read Dr. Sabi and Dr. Lewis and different people, and you just feel that if you follow those things way before I'm finding out that a lot of people, when they go and get chemo and radiation, they don't eat before they go. They don't take massive vitamins before and after, but they will drink a cup of coffee thinking the coffee is energy.
Mm.
And, you know, coffee brings you up like a shot of Coke, then it drops you like the stock market. You know. So I just woke up. I tried to get up. That's why I missed the show a lot. I tried to get a nap in.
Mm-hmm.
So my grandkids, grandkids and them come over here looking for Grammy, because she comes on Saturday. They just look up in the sky. They look up in the sky and start waving and shit. Then they start crying again.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So. But family, I'm going to put, this is one lecture that you gotta hear. Dr. Kaba spoke, and he said our Savior was in the black church and they could do more. He spoke from 7:30 to 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So the spirit of Leola Maddox and the lecture,
mm-hmm.
The historians don't have a platform. Now, I'm not talking about Zoom. I'm talking about actual being in the...
That's right.
With the people, with the spirit
That's
of the
right.
people.
That's right. You know, I've been saying that for the longest, Brother Ray Ray. I know. That's why I keep raising the questions that I raise, because I want other people to be able to say it, because I've been saying it. I'm real clear.
And you know what? And I'm going to get off, Michelle. You know what else? You always say, but what are we going to do?
That's
right. And that's what he kept saying. He said,
yep.
What are we going to do?
That's right.
And I believe he will have kept on talking till after 11 o'clock. Because he probably ain't spoke at a live lecture, and he was just so comfortable, and we were so comfortable in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess, and he said, he said the Europe in the lecture, and once I download, I'm downloading it now. It's almost 4 hours. He said,
wow.
Dr. Kaba said, if he was dim and he knew they knew their time was up, he would do the same thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. That's how
we
keep saying, telling people. Yeah.
That's
we
right.
We keep telling people because they talk about, well, this is what's going on in the public school and they won't do this and da-da-da-da. And we like, so do you really think your enemy is going to help you beyond a certain point? Why? What part of this do we not get?
We
don't have our own everything, we cannot depend on these people
to that extent.
Yeah.
They are so afraid, and Dr. Kaba went so far back on their nature.
Yep.
He said they will kill their grandmother and everybody else so they'll win.
Mm-hmm.
He said they were killed. They own, so it's about winning. And when I look at us not even fighting, a lot of people is fighting against this 19, but a lot of people is not fighting. They're just going along, and they actually taking $100 and letting their kids get the not knowing that they're going to have to take that stuff for the rest of their life. They're going to be giving it to them for the rest of their days. They ain't going to make it.
Mm. Mm. Mm.
So I just woke up because I want to check the upload. And it's good to say something. And I hope this year be a struggle, because we got a black face, de Blasio, who won't look like he's going to change anything. He's going to continue the policies and.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he's a Democratic Party.
That's again what we don't get. For the most part, these people have to, this is why we're going to be doing our Poli-Sci 101 classes, because unless you have a very strong foundation and team, you will do what the party wants you to do.
You don't fall. So they, it's a sad thing because they are forcing people, and if your stuff is not long enough, the unions are selling the members out. I got two family members that 4 months already without a check.
Four months without what?
Without a paycheck, 4 months.
What?
City workers,
wow.
4 months who don't vote, who don't voted for these people. And it's real tight around. It's real tight. And it's a scary situation because they never seen anything like it. And even Dr. Carter said he didn't picture what's happening now. He didn't even picture it happening now. He said he pictured it. But what's happening now, he didn't picture it. So this is going to be a... It's going to be a rough 4 years, and if you can hold out, it might be victorious, but we don't know. It's a well-orchestrated plan, but you're still going strong, and Keisha and Mike and Philadelphia and everybody. But I'm going to the rally to Albany, and I'm going to the one in D.C., and they actually... voting on detention camps, and which might not pass, but they want it on the books.
Who is the day? What day are you talking about?
Okay, the 5th, January 5th, Robert Kennedy from the Children's Defense and Teachers for Choice. They're going to, we're going to Albany. And then they have
Can we lose him? Oh, Connie, are you there?
Oh yes, sweetie, I'm here.
Oh, okay, so we must have lost him. I don't know what happened. All right, Sammy, so so that was Brother Ray Ray, and again our condolences to him and his family, of course. And again, you know, this COVID thing, initially we were, when they came out with this new Omicron, whatever, we were like, oh, yeah. But no, that they have now increased or taken things to the next level. Because, again, here in Philly, they're talking about shutting stuff down again like it was before. So, and they're saying that, you know, the death rate and all of this. So, yeah, this new strain or whatever it is that they're talking about is definitely serious. Well, I mean, it's all serious, but I'm just saying I initially thought it was going to be like the Delta Omicron because, I mean, it came, but it didn't really, like, you know, have any real impact. But this Omicron thing is different. They really cooked this one up. And it definitely is, you know, and it is having, you know, a whole nother kind of impact or, you know, a Anyway, all right, family. So, again, that was Brother Ray Ray. I'm not sure what happened.
He's back.
I'm there.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right.
So, yeah, they got some people up in Albany. Look like us. One is a hat, Levine. They're nicknaming him the Anthony Fauci of the city council. And then you got Nick Perry, who actually introduced the bill for the quarantine camp.
What?
And then they got one. Oh, yeah. Then they got one, the 550 for the... where they want to be able to go into your medical records.
Wow.
So
I mean, I knew, in fact, I mentioned it, it's not last week, the week before, that I saw that the legislation was being presented for the quarantine camp thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, family, that's real. That is real. We saw it. I sent it to Sister Keisha when I saw it. But, yeah, that is real. We can show you the documentation on that, that city officials were proposing that various people be put in quarantine.
Whoever doesn't have the 19.
Right. Yep. And so, And you know what's so interesting, Brother Ray Ray? And I had mentioned this to one of my sons earlier. I said, you know, we could keep acting like we haven't been given the teachings or information if we want to, but this stuff was told to us, and I know you remember this, Mama Condi, the King James, well, the King James, King Arthur plan.
King Alfred.
Now, that was at least 30 years ago.
All of that crap.
Sure. That was at least 30 years ago that we were looking at that information. And they were, oh, that's some conspiracy theory stuff. Y'all can't believe that. And look at what we're talking about and looking at right now. So here's
exactly.
The point that I'm saying to everyone. We better stop just taking for granted or dismissing things that are told to us just because we can't see it at that time. That is foolish.
Well,
and we are showing
you
it's foolish.
The governor and the mayor is also, especially the governor, the people that think they're safe, that's 19'd up,
mm-hmm.
Well, if they get their way, you're not even going to be considered vaccinated, even though you done took the 2-shot regimen and 1 booster. Or you're not going to be considered vaccinated unless you take the other one. So all what you done did. While you blame somebody else that doesn't have anything in them, because now you blaming, I'm blaming you. You don't have nothing in you,
right?
Because you didn't want to be forced to. You're going to be in the same boat,
right?
Course, what you done did is not going to be good enough. They're going to make you take the Boost Mobile.
Right.
So you got a lot of people running around thinking they're safe because they already 19'd up.
Right.
So it's, you know, we better have some faith. And we better get ready, because if they get New York, and you know, what's the delay with the Supreme Court and they're taking so long, and you know, to rule on it, the certain time for the teachers in New York after the union sold them down the water, after a certain time they're considered fired.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And if you got siblings, you're gonna lose your medical and all that. So that's what a lot of people was under.
Right.
And at every rally, you could see the anger and the tears in their eyes, because I don't know how they're making it, but their savings is getting little and little.
Sure.
But the other people
that's
19'd
really...
up with. The other people that's 19'd up with their chests out,
right,
they're going to be in the same boat, because what they took to keep their job is not going to be no good unless they keep boosting up.
See, and that's the second phase, or this, one of the other realms of this whole thing. You know, they're getting people with the jab. They're getting them with the physical or the biological
kind of insertion. Well, with the other piece, it's going to be the mental, meaning the stress, the overwhelming, you know, of losing or lessening now your egg, you know, your nest egg and all of that kind of stuff. They're now getting people geared up for destruction.
And once you get so stressed, if you're a male, once you get so stressed out, your PSA, prostate, you start having neck problems and all kind of, because, you know, your body is not used to that stuff, and it's, you have all kind of aches and pains. I'm telling you. So, faith. We need some faith and some of his brothers.
people better
start, you know, raising some Kang, because this is a well-orchestrated plan. But you doing it, Mackie's doing it, Keisha and them is doing it, Mike, all your people in Philly, and all this is trying the best, but this is, they still aim to win. And they gonna roll over anybody. Yeah. So.
All right, my brother.
Jeannie, and everybody. So, you know.
Again, you stay strong and continue to do what you're doing. And, you know, hey, as the saying goes, we definitely dare to struggle, and we will win.
And I saw a guy. I was coming from the gym, and this guy was in the park right around the corner from where UAM and down the block from Mackey's. He was so fired up off of that fentanyl. They must got some new shit out there. He was hanging on the goddamn fence in the rain like he didn't have a care, and that shit had him fired up. So a lot of people is going toward that.
Mm.
Now, they're suing the pharmaceutical companies on what the opioid crisis did to white folk. But during the 60s, when they dumped all that poison, ain't nobody was talking about suing anybody for what it did to black folks, like my brother and my sister and all the people I knew and me and other people that didn't. And my brother was messing with that, and that's killed them on the spot. But now states are suing for what it did to white folk.
What's your mother's name, Baba Gregory, so I can add her to my ancestral name? I do prayers four times a day. I want to add her name, please.
Zella Parker. That's my wife's mother's name.
Zella Parker. Thank you.
And it's a whole lot of, it's funny, in New York, it's a whole lot of old people that's going into these hospitals, and they it's obituaries. It's obituaries behind them. They're not coming out. They, you know, they actually passing away. Got another guy, member of Mackey's, family member, told him don't go in there, and he was four. He was young. And he went in there. They threw the iron lung on him. 4 days later, bam, out of there. So they got the devil's look in their eye when you go in there. Because for them, it's to get rid of the people so they could still be in charge.
Sure. Well, as we say, it is now up to us. We the ones who've been
waiting for. It is. Sister Filet, you are 100% correct.
Yep.
Because Kaba said, what are we going to do?
There it is. We keep talking. Mm-hmm. We know what the problems are. At least some of them, we know what they're doing.
Right.
But yet, we're not talking about what we're going to do to the degree of reality and really putting stuff in place. But that's why MWM will be
presenting this year, our Black Print Agenda 25, and it definitely will be presenting and providing at least some potential kinds of things that we can do in our communities and do them, you know, pretty expeditiously, pretty readily. Some of this stuff is not going to take a whole lot. It just takes a few people committed to wanting to do something. And so, you know, here in Philly, we have that cadre now. It's been a long time building it, but we have enough folks now to really implement some of the things that we wanted to do. And, you know, sometimes you got to go through the process with people to really see where they're coming from or to really see if, in fact, they're going to stay. Because, you know, you got people that pop in, pop out, you know, or wait until it's a big event and then they want to be a part of it and all of that. So we've gauged all of that over the years, and now we know, you know, who really is in this for the long haul. And so now we can move forward, you know, knowing what we know. We know who's going to come in now and then leave. We already know that and anticipate it. You see, that's the difference. See, before I was under the illusion. I was under the illusion that if you do certain things, that folks would look at it and, yeah, you know, wow, look at that, and then want to be, that's not how it goes. So now we know better and have plans accordingly. You know, so it's all good. It's all good. All right, my brother. Well, again, our love and prayers are with you and the family. You know, and I also like to say, you know, our meditations is with you and the family. And so, you know, this too shall pass. This too shall pass.
Yeah.
That's what we know. But family, again, what we're saying to everybody is, y'all better listen. I'm not, you know, we're not trying to be spooky or, you know, conspiracy oriented or whatever you want to call it. This stuff is real. It's happening. And if folks don't begin to act like, you know, that we better be doing some things, hey, I'm going to say like Wesley said, see ya and don't want to be ya.
You better act like warriors because me.
That's right.
I go for the worst and expect the best, but I always look for the worst first and expect the best.
Absolutely.
He vocally warned us, so we just pull up some of his videos. He was talking about exactly what he's doing now. He was talking about this 3 years ago.
Absolutely. Well, you know, the process of elimination is now in effect. And so, we can't save everybody. And so, you know, for me now, I'm like, yo, I'm going to do what I can and help who I can. But for real, I am not going to wear myself out with a whole lot of knuckleheads either. You know, I'm going to put the information out there because I'm obligated to do that. But I'm going to make sure, to the best of my ability, that those that are really trying to do some things, I'm going to give as much support as I possibly can. You know,
you got so many people leaving New York and going to red states. They're getting out of town.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what's going to be happening all over because between gentrification, see, that's the other thing. Gentrification is going to force people to move in different locations anyway.
Because
we're not organized. We have no control over anything. Even the little bit of control that we could have, we don't have. We don't have communities anymore for the most part. They're not organized, not to benefit us. Here in Philly, they have block captains, right? So what we're proposing at our next meeting, and by the way, family, we have our monthly meeting now at Spirit First Foods. We've already booked up to March, third Saturday in every month. We're at Spirit First Foods. And so the next session will be presenting our community, Black Community Emergency Response and Preparedness information. But one of the things that we're looking at doing is creating our own block generals. Because, see, here in Philly, the city has block captains. And they work for their service. They do what the city instructs them to do. So we're forming our own group called Black Generals. It's not the city. Somebody got a lot of noise going on. Be cognizant that your phone picks up all your sound. So you have to make sure you not do that. Okay. But at any rate, you know, again, we're going to get ready to close out, family. And listen, again, for those that have some action plans, we certainly welcome you to join us, participate, bring your information, share your information. It's time that we, you know, put things out there that people can look at and embrace and implement. So, you know, if you have some concrete information that you want to send in writing, you can do so by sending it to nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. Or you can text me at 267. Awesome. Look, you got to stop whatever's going on, Brother Ray Ray. That sound is coming in, so don't move your phone, please. Okay. And again, you can text us at 267-636-3802. Again, 267-636-3802. Okay, so we're going to go back to Brother Ray Ray and get some closing comments from him, and then we'll have Mama Condi to close us out.
Okay, well, we just got to keep, like you said, having the faith, and this one was a bad one for the Smith family, so, and the Parker family, and, you know. So we keep going strong, and even some other members we know that we lost that I didn't even mean. Look at, we lost Big Harold, you know. Dr. Lewis has some stuff on his side of the family. Regular people that don't even come to lectures is feeling this thing, but at least we have a family within our family in the conscious community.
Mm-hmm.
And shows like yours, and we even got the guy in Mackey's. He wants to close that up because he thinks the chromochrome is messing everything up, and
mm-hmm.
Got to work on him to see if we could keep it open. First he says he ain't worrying about us. We could do it. Then he says something else. So, you know,
yeah.
At least we got one family and, you know. So, and, you know.
Okay.
That's what we got to roll with.
All right. Well, that is, again, we must strive. Absolutely. All right, Mama Condi, your closing comments for tonight.
Okay. Since it's Imani, it's appropriate. So here's where I'm going to go. Kwanzaa time is here. It's a happening time of year when Africans celebrate everything that we've done great. The Nguzo Saba, loving your mama and your baba, struggling hand in hand all across this here land. Umoja, Kujichagulia, Ujima, Ujama, Nia Kumba and Imani.
I say. All right, family. Well, we're going to get ready to close this session out. We thank you all for tuning in. And, hey, what can we say? We are moving forward. Of course, MWM25 is coming. We're getting ready to release, finally, the Black Print Agenda 25. You'll be hearing more about that as we proceed. Tomorrow, please feel free to join us at 4 o'clock. We will be talking with, Recharging the Side 21 will be presenting our report and what's coming next. We had to readjust some things, needless to say. Our projection for last year, we had to kind of put it into this year, which is good. It's all good. We'll tell you more about that tomorrow. And we'll be talking also to Dr. Ray Winbush. We'll be doing our special salute to Dr. Francis Cresswell's name, and of course, Dr. Wimbush, Dr. Marimba Ani, and others have done a book, focusing on the work of Dr. Francis Cresswell's name. And what we'll be doing every month, as we have been doing, and that is highlighting ancestors. And of course, tomorrow will in fact mark the ancestral ascension of Dr. Francis Cresswell, January the 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
So again, tomorrow, 4 o'clock. And see, going back to what we were saying earlier, what kind of faith, what is our faith? And it's interesting because it also gets into what is our faith. But what is our faith when we're talking about what are we going to do to help liberate ourselves? What are the things that we're talking about doing? What religion, for lack of a better word, do we implement for justice and liberation? Not because a preacher said it or an imam said it or whatever, but what as we, as Brother Ray Ray said, as a conscious community. And I know that some kind of are like turned off by the word conscious because of a few who have done certain things, but I say we the Steve Beagle kind of consciousness. Y'all can't get around that one, trust me. So, again, as we say, we're ready to move forward. I see Malachi, you get it. They get it, too. We make it clear. We make it plain, as Brother Malcolm said. You know, we're going to make it very, very clear. It's not going to be ambiguous. You're going to know exactly what we're saying and why we're saying it. And with that, we are ready now to move forward expeditiously by any and all means necessary. So without further ado, family, we're going to close out. And y'all know what we do right about now. I'm going to leave you as we oftentimes greet you in the spirit of Ma'anhotep. But remember, there can never be any real peace until there is Ma'atik justice. And with that, we're talking about truth, justice, reciprocity, honor, balance, et cetera, et cetera. This is the type of justice that we've got to start focusing on, righteousness, order, reciprocity. Again, we can't just say justice and leave it at that anymore because other people talk about justice too. And do we know what they're talking about? So we've got to make our call and demand clear. And so we say, if there's no Ma'atik justice, there's no what, family?
There's no
peace.
No peace.
Yes,
absolutely. Without further ado, we also again wish you all a very, very good 2022. We know in our calendar it's another year. Dude, what's the other year, Mama Condi? I know you know.
Say it again.
Yeah. Yeah, I usually have it somewhere nearby, but the bottom line is
55 ADM, 55 years after the death of Malcolm. Also, you have the kinetic year, which is 2400.
Right.
And I hope somebody
yes.
will correct me. And then
right.
you have the Nigerian year, Odun Day, that's in June.
All right. So anyway, family, we again are looking forward to sharing a lot more information with you, helping our people to know more about our various cultures, hoping that you will start pulling more from those things that are indigenous to us as a people. There's a whole wide array of different things that we can select from and that we can incorporate into our lives. Now is the time to do it. So until next time, I'm going to say Tuta Nana. And, of course, Pomoja to the Shenda. Together we shall win. All right, family, we are out. Talk to you next time.
Thank you.
We will
All
win
right,
the war.
Yes, yes, yes.